Michael, on top of all of that, I was just muted, I think. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay. I was just saying, welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion and thanking people for their patience in working out our technical issues. And we're here now. I guess better late than never, right?
Yes, definitely. And I think Rebecca is here also.
Rebecca's here also. Excellent. Welcome, Rebecca. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you, Jen. Glad to be here.
So we have a fun new coaching opportunity coming up, and definitely don't want to give anything away in terms of kind of how that will go, but thought it would be a good opportunity to just to talk a little bit. So the coaching opportunity, I think, is called Politics from Center. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And so just talking a little bit about kind of the inspiration of practicing with that and kind of how that came to be in terms of wanting to offer people that opportunity at this kind of juncture of where we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, that's such a good, big, long question. So I'll try to rein myself in a little bit. It's because actually it's been a passion of mine and an interest of mine and a practice of mine for probably going on a decade at least. But the inspiration to actually offer it to Sangha came through Sherry's blog on conscious compassionate action. So when we started the Seeing Through the Eyes of Love radio show, right after the election, and then everything that was done through the Conscious Compassionate Action blog and the subsequent group coachings that have happened, it would just felt like this giant resonating that was happening within me. And I was just like, teetering with excitement and giddiness over the fact that we were looking at this as a Sangha, and I was getting to practice with this within this community. And so I don't really know what tipped the scale in terms of moving it from conscious compassionate action, which is much broader, to specifically politics from center. It just seemed to come out, it just seemed to be something that dropped in, and I put it out for guidance and was given let's do it, and so what the inspiration is how we can take that, so the premise of the Conscious Compassionate Action blog or, movement was that what is really under all the angst and the frustration or however we feel about what's going on in the political realm, what's underneath all of that is deep, deep caring, deep love for whatever, for the country, for the environment, for the people, for the world, for immigrants, for whatever, right? It's a deep love and caring. And to access that place and then act from that place is really what it's all about. And
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to reflect that really what really what all of practice is always offering us, right? But I think as we've been talking about, especially lately on the radio shows, that there's something really helpful about taking a practical doorway in. And so this is the moment of time we're in right now, and these are the things that are happening around us. These are the current events. And then to look to ourselves and see, and this is what's getting stirred inside of me as a result of that, and then begin to trace that back, which I think, as you point at, is what the Conscious Compassionate Action blog was about, is, so it might look all kinds of ways inside of me, and I might have all kinds of conversation going on, but if I get quiet and I trace it back, it's love. And so having the opportunity as a Sangha to get to have that experience of tracing it back, that again, even though the what's, I think that's one of the things that makes it so amazing, is in this case, the what seems really real and important and quote true and all of those things, but being able to trace that what right back to that process.
Yes, and exactly. So in the area of politics, I mean, there's just you know, very few places where ego seems to reign supreme, right, and than that area. And so to just sort of march in headlong into an area like, no, we're not gonna shy away from things, you know, anything actually. We're about transcending fear and limitations wherever they may be. And so mm-hmm. and so this is an area in which, you know, in my own practice I've been looking at for a long time and really seeing how much of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate can kind of, you know, rule the day in that area. But when we come at it with a view of practice, with a view of no, there's no place in which presence won't be transformed and we won't be transformed through the presence. So it's not about changing the world, it's about being transformed, waking up and ending suffering, and using that avenue as a way to do it, like we do every content. You know, it's the one rule, right? We'll use everything in our experience to see how we are caused to suffer so we can wake up and end suffering.
You know, and as you're talking, Rebecca, it just strikes me that that's one of the great gifts, I think, of Buddhism in general, is that from my understanding anyway, one of the processes that has always been so of Buddhist awareness practice is that it, instead of coming in to impose itself, it takes on whatever is going around, what's going on around a given group of people at a given point in time, and uses that to practice with. And this is it, right? This is where we are. And so this is what we practice with.
Exactly so. Yeah, it is such a gift, and I'm very excited. We have a full group this time, and so hopefully, you know, we'll be able to offer it again. And but we have these, I was going to say brave souls, but really it's just another area of practice, you know. But I'm just very excited to get started, and we'll report back
report back. Excellent. All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Wonderful. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks again for your patience on that, getting it all the pieces lined up this afternoon.
Sure. A little bit of scrambling there, but sometimes life is like that, so
practice. It is. Good practice, exactly. We practice with all of it, as Rebecca just said. Yep.
Yes. And I enjoyed that conversation you had with Rebecca, and it seems that it's a topic that's ever-present these days in this country, so it's great.
Yeah, it is great, and it's one of those things where, and I think that's one of the gifts people point to right now is, you know, it's one of those things that's ever-present all the time. It's just that sort of when it's, quote, going our way, it's more invisible, and that can be one of the gifts of when, you know, something hurts in my body or something, and it reminds us of, wow, that's right. Now I remember how most of the time everything's working, and so it's a good reminder,
Yeah, opportunity to really wake up and pay attention and to get involved in this that we seem appropriate. Yes, exactly. And I have announcements here, unless you would like to take us another direction first.
No, announcement sounds great.
Okay. Are you ready to get away from day-to-day pressures and immerse yourself in a practice and community focused on waking up? The Your Practice Retreat, September 29th through October 6th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
And we're getting excited about that here at the monastery, starting to get ready.
Great. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness. requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. A new quarter begins October 15th.
Great.
Yes. And a new group coaching opportunity, Compassionate Scheduling with the Mentor, will look at creating a schedule based in kindness that allows us to take good care of ourselves as we live our daily lives. The coaching begins October.
Did I blip out or did you, Michael? October. I just missed the date. Begins October.
Oh, coaching begins October 30th.
30th. Okay. Great.
30th. Okay. And that seems like such a great topic because when I think about being on retreat, the schedule is what holds me together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bring that compassionate scheduling into the rest of my life seems really valuable.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
Sherry will be conducting a workshop on recording and listening at Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area on November 7th. This event is free and is part of the campus Contemplation by Design Summit. Sherry will talk about using this great tool to focus attention to live authentically.
That is so fun. Wow.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Jen today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation that focuses on one topic and is about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Jen, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Jen and Michael. This is Mark in Chicago.
Hey,
hey
Mark.
Hi. Nice to talk to you guys. I haven't talked to you for a while.
I know. Long time no hear. Yep.
So I've got a question about the issue that's going on in my life. My wife's a psychologist, and she has a former patient who's been kind of ratcheting up threatening emails, and so this represents a whole world of, you know, what do you do about it? How do you respond? How do you think about it? How do you not think about it?
Yeah.
And so the first thing I wanted to ask about was, this seems different than noodling, you know, because there's some basis to this thing, and I find it very difficult to, move away from this. It just consumes my mind, and it would sure be useful to have some ideas on how to work on that.
So because the threat feels really real, and so it seems like, gosh, it's challenging to have sort of a, oh, I'm sure it'll work out, and kind of that sort of sense. And so that leaves a really big space for the conversation to come in, to kind of worry and that sort of thing. Is that what you're pointing at?
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And how have you practiced with it so far?
Well, the one thing I did was, I mean, there's a lot, it's associated with fear, you know. And it's kind of an indirect fear because the threats are really against our animals, not against us. So, you know, we have horses and turkeys and goats. And, you know, there's no way to, it's not like a dog in the house where it's protected. You know, the animals are outside. And so, you know, that adds a level of feeling out of control because it's not even
absolutely
me. It's this other creature. So anyway, how have I dealt with it? I did some two-handed recording because it's certainly an issue related to fear, which I've addressed before with it. And the difference that I feel or sense is that I've always felt like it was the fearful child in me that was, you know, talking with one hand with the recorder. And now it feels like the me in me. You know, it's not the child in me. It's the me, an adult me in me. And so it's a different dynamic where there's a mentor talking to an adult person. And I don't know how to make that a constant companion. You know, it kind of feels good in the moment and then drifts away. And that comfort that typically comes because a childlike issue kind of can be addressed. You know what I mean? And not to say that you're done with it, but it gets addressed and there's some progress. It still is really different and really hard for me to understand how, even with two-handed recording, for example, to work on.
So sounds like when you're in the middle of doing a two-handed recording, there's a sense of being with the adult who's going through this hard thing. It sounds like there is some comfort there, but then it's challenging to carry that through.
Yeah, and so one of the things that makes me wonder about is it the comfort that's coming from the activity, you know, the two-handed recording, or is it just that I managed to distract myself from thinking about the other thing? You know, when I was young, in order to stop my crazy thoughts, I did dangerous, exciting, you know, things, because if I wasn't present, it was filmed. But this is different. You know, I can't, too old to go out and do crazy, dangerous things. I'm not sure I can distinguish between whether the comfort is coming from doing the two-handed recording per se, or whether it's just that I'm focused on something and the other thing is no longer occupying my thoughts. Maybe it doesn't matter.
Well, and Mark, have you read the Fear book?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember the part, I'm pretty sure this must be in the Fear book, yeah, where Sherry's talking about an example of someone who, and I can't remember if it's she's sort of making up a scenario or whether it was actually from a conversation with someone in the Sangha, but at any rate, someone who's afraid of the dark, who's afraid in their house at night, basically. And she walked through this scenario of, you know, if we need to build a new bathroom that's right there in the, you know, in the bedroom so that you don't have to walk down the hall, then we'll do it. We, you know, buy a ha-ha to put on the door. In other words, you know, so the mentoring takes the form of being with a guy who's experienced and assisting him, I would project, to keep his attention in the present moment and out of the conversation. And I wonder, too, if there's an element of, and let's look at this, like there is a grown-up here, right, who this is a real person writing these emails and saying these things, and we do have animals and they are outside and all of those things. Is there a sense of an opening for that, not from a fear place, but from a I love this guy place? Talk to me about what would help you feel safe in this situation.
Yes, and when I have gone through that process, I mean, some of the things that occur to me, being the analytical me, is get security cameras, tell our neighbors, you know, because we only, you know, got a cornfield on one side and a pasture on the other, so there's only two people to tell, and they're good friends, so, you know, we can tell them. And is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Exactly, you know, precisely. Precisely.
Okay. Yeah.
And those things do help. Yeah, go ahead. Those things do help.
No, I was really done. Go ahead.
Well, just that, you know, there's a way in which then that could just become one side of a duality. Okay, and we're going to build a giant wall, and I think that's how countries get where they get, right? I mean, we're kind of witnessing that. That's why I love the Fear book and laying out that example, because it just honors that. Okay, here's this guy who has these animals and loves these animals, cares so much about them. And so, as you say, it's even sort of one step beyond me protecting myself. It's, you know, you've got these creatures who have this innocence and goodness about them, and they depend on you. And so wanting to really honor that and to honor the guy who loves them and who is afraid. And so helping him to walk through the steps that make sense. And what I think is so amazing about the mentor life, you know, whatever, however you want to talk about that presence, is it isn't going to follow us down a rabbit hole of building giant fences and putting electrical around the mm-mm. You know, it might listen to us as we, in the right hand, talk about it, and then I want to, and, you know, hire a guy with a shotgun and, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
But it's not going to follow us down that road. It's going to hear us out, and then it's going to reflect us. And what might be some steps we could take that might be compassionate for all of us?
Yeah. That's actually a good, I mean, one of the other things that I had wanted to ask about was what this looks like in the context of allowing or being open to what life is leading me to do, and even understanding mm-hmm. that in the middle of being kind of confused. For example, you know, there's, you know, we've talked to a lawyer. Do we take out an order of, there's a lot of steps, a lot of things you could do. And you have
yeah.
to make a choice.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like buying a car. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
well, maybe,
mm-hmm.
maybe it is like buying a car. Maybe everything is the same. But this sure feels different than buying a car when you have to make a decision like this that has different consequences.
Well, maybe, and Mark, I was just going to say quickly, I would project part of why it feels different to you than buying a car is that you've bought cars before.
Oh, good point.
So,
yeah, good point.
So someone who, you know, I don't know, I've been working a lot on the project in Zambia these last weeks or so. So if someone from Cantalumba suddenly was about to buy a car, oh my gosh, the amount of stuff that would be in front of them that they'd never encountered before would be overwhelming. So maybe a guy who's in a brand new situation never had to negotiate this before, at least not in this way.
Right. And it's also difficult and different in the sense of being, or at least feeling, totally out of control of the
yes.
consequences of the thing. You know, it's like buying a car. At least, even if I bought the wrong one, at least I still have a car. I have something. You know, it's
right.
just a mistake.
Right.
And maybe yeah. the reason I see this differently is because my mind takes me to a place where, all right, something, you know, has happened to the animal, and now I'm experiencing grief over something that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Which is never
yeah.
a good place to be.
Well, and this is, so you'll have to look and see, but when you pair that with the control piece, and it would be my fault if I hadn't taken the right action.
Yeah, yeah. I could have done this or this instead
yeah.
in addition to it.
And that's the place where, just right off the bat, we can take that guy off the hook, because here's what we know. If someone said right now to you, here, in order to take care of your animals, you need to do X, Y, and Z, would you do it? I project you would do anything, whatever that was.
Right, right.
But we don't know. We don't. We're not in control. We don't have all the answers. We don't. I mean, we really, truly, that's the gift in it, is that it requires us to just be here and do what we see now, and now, and now, and now.
Mm-hmm. And then the one other, if I could just touch on one other aspect
sure.
of it that's been difficult mm-hmm. for me, is that, you know, and if you, as difficult as some people can be, you kind of have a, or I've always had a sense, well, I can either deal with this person, or at least I can understand why, you know, I think they're crazy and I can't deal with them. But when
mm-hmm.
you really are dealing with someone who has a mental illness of some kind,
mm-hmm.
there is
mm-hmm.
no way to, you know, there's no way for that I've discovered to help myself understand what is the next
mm-hmm.
step I can take to maybe make some
yep.
kind of, you know, peace with this person, because they just are not going to think, look,
right.
like I think. And so that
right.
adds another dimension of just, maybe that's just another aspect of being out of control, I guess.
That's where I went too. I do not know if this is a good analogy, but I'll tell you the one that dropped in, and maybe it's because there have been so many storms lately, is, you know, it's like, so there's a hurricane coming, and you need to decide whether the hurricane is, like, You know, it's so funny to think about, but we do this. You know, you hear in weather reporting, the angry storm that's coming up. I mean, we project all kinds of things on the weather, right? But it's much easier to see with the weather, because what we get is it's just a storm. It's just what happened. And we actually, we don't know how it's going to act. We don't know whether it's going to go a mile to the left or a mile to the right, or it's going to pick up speed, or it's going to whatever. All we can do is be right here and be ready. And it's kind of the same with, you know, someone who's not, maybe doesn't even have the ability to play by all the same rules that the rest of us do. It's kind of the same thing. We just, we don't know. But we don't have to take it personally and have some illusion, or we should be able to somehow control it.
Yeah, that's actually a very good analogy. And I've been thinking about that lately, because I'm so happy to live in the middle of a country where the weather's always boring.
Right. You don't get the fires, the earthquakes, the hurricanes.
Yeah, we get pretty much nothing here, and that's just fine with me.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, that's very helpful, John.
Well, and I hope you'll report back, Mark, because again, you know, I find myself saying this every single time I facilitate open air, but I so appreciate the richness that is given to all of us when people call in with the, you know, what's going on in their lives and how they're practicing with it and how practice applies.
Yeah. Boy, it's very helpful. Yeah, I agree. It's just great. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you. Take good care.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mark. And Jen, I was having the same thoughts drop in that you were just sharing there. The richness of the situation and the willingness to bring it to all of us so that practice can look at it and you can offer ideas. And it just struck me as, you know, to go in depth, in detail, into these issues. And it's just really helpful.
It really, really is. You know, one of my favorite things, I think it was Chris originally who said it, insight needs experience. That place where as we go through our lives, everything becomes part of what we call upon. And so I was just seeing how, you know, so Mark calls in with that situation, and I think last week or the week before we were talking to Rochelle about what's going on with her mom, and, you know, we talk just all the millions of different ways that life shows up, and that as one person, we're never going to have all of those experiences. But as a sangha, we pretty much cover the waterfront. And so whenever anything comes up in my life, all of that experience that's back there from all of sangha contributing is available to me as insight as I navigate my way through whatever life is showing up right now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes, and as you were talking, what dropped in was the open air archives from the last 15 years or however many years it is. You know, every topic, literally almost every single topic that a human being would encounter is in there.
Yeah.
And it's just so powerful for each of us to bring our stories and to share them and to get compassionate guidance and support. And looking at them, it's incredible.
It really is.
And just as incredible is that we have another caller here.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lee Ba, and I'm new to the community.
Very good. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I've been listening to the midday shows.
Oh, very good. And where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Okay.
It's wonderful. So I'm somebody who's been food addicted since I was 14 years old. Mm. And I really need a practice about... Sorry about the puppy. I know I need to practice to save my life. And I guess I just need to I've meditated off and on, but I've never followed a disciplined pattern. I've never been in a community with specific mm-hmm. guidance. So mm-hmm. basically, I'm just calling to say, you know, how do I get kind of jump started?
Uh-huh. And just to give me a sense of, so it sounds like you're participating in the year-long retreat if you're listening to the radio shows each day.
No, I just had a friend turn me on to the community. So
okay.
I have
a program. And so when you say you're listening to the calls, which calls do you mean?
The noon, it's open to anybody who has the number from the website at noon Eastern.
Okay. Okay, where Sherry and Ashwini are talking about an assignment each day. And
correct, right. And I just
like
have,
okay.
yeah, so I haven't, yes, correct.
Okay, great. And what's that been like, listening to those?
I mean, the questions are marvelous. One day I wrote on the question. I just haven't, like, committed. I feel like it's a way in.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, you do resonate with sort of what you're hearing on those shows.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. And it's funny I ask that because, in fact, we were just talking about that this morning, that we can think because we resonate with it and we take to it that, oh, of course, everyone would, but that's actually not the case. Not everyone is necessarily drawn to awareness practice, to that as an approach to their lives. And so that's a big piece of information right there for you to have, I would project.
Okay. That's hopeful.
Uh-huh. And so when you say you're kind of looking for something, say more about what you feel like you're looking for. What kind of support are you? You mentioned meditation and...
Yeah, meditation. I guess the main part of my spiritual practice is a food plan right now to commit to a food plan to trigger my addiction. And I just feel like I'm looking for answers from people. But really, I am at that point where I know I need to go inside. And
that's such a huge place.
To get nourished from that place. I know that's true, and I just haven't been willing to do that.
Yeah. So an intuitive sense that reaching for something, in this case food, and really everyone has their version of it, but reaching for something to try to, you know, fill that space, which is really insatiable, isn't it? The food doesn't do it. It might take the edge off, but it doesn't actually satiate, I project, what you really realize you truly want, and that you're at a place where intuitively you're sensing, gosh, that's hard. That's what I really want.
Yeah, and I intellectually feel... like, oh, I know, I have answers. I know the way out is the way in. And I've had some deep experiences, but I haven't never gotten it into a daily pattern.
Have you ever read any of Sherry's books?
I bought about 5 of them.
Okay.
And
do you remember offhand which ones?
The Bamboozle.
Okay.
The Bamboozle, and I think I bought the key, and I just bought the one that's more autobiographical, and the something about there's nothing wrong with me.
Okay. Yeah. That might be a really good starting place. There's nothing wrong with you.
Okay.
That's a fabulous book. It's actually really, it's not Sherry's first book, actually. I think The Key is technically the first book. But, that's the book that really kind of spread through the culture, if you will, because I think people resonate with it so much.
Okay.
And we actually have a retreat based on the same title, which I would highly recommend. And wish so much that I had one to tell you to sign up for. We don't.
Okay.
Because it'll be until next year that we start those again. But starting with that book would be fabulous. And then one of the great gifts that I think Sherry brings to awareness practice is that she's very, very down to earth. That's why I think certain people are drawn to this particular practice.
Uh-huh.
And many of her books have a component of assisting you to actually practice. I think, and you're saying it basically, we all know the experience of sitting on the couch and reading something or hearing something or watching something and feeling like, oh, yes, 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 that's it, that's it, that's it. But what we realize is, but it's going to be actually practicing that's going to make the difference in my life. And that can be really challenging to do when we're on our own, which is why coming to retreat is so huge. Mm-hmm. But a number of Sherry's books have a component to them that walk you through a process.
Okay.
So, for example, if the one that's coming to mind is I don't want to, I don't feel like it, how resistance controls your life and what to do about it, has a 30-day retreat at the back of it around recording and listening. And you've probably heard, if you've been listening to those shows, you've probably heard people refer to recording and listening, yeah?
Definitely, and I bought a recorder today because I...
Good for you.
Yeah, okay.
That is fabulous. And I don't know if you heard the show this morning, but I was mentioning the website, recordingandlistening.org. That is filled with many, many resources. And if you go on our website, the livingcompassion.org website, have you navigated around there at all?
Yeah, a bit. I have, yes.
Okay, good. You will come across... we do periodically recording and listening trainings where you can sign up to be with a group of folks who are also either starting or deepening their recording and listening practice. And what's great about that is then you get to walk through a led experience, because often when we start to record and listen, or when we start anything that's going to start to break an addiction, then that habit, those voices inside of our head really don't want us to do that. So it's helpful to do it in a group setting where you get to really have the support of other people and hear, like Michael and I were just talking about, where you hear, oh, okay, everyone's up against all the same voices and all the same resistance that I am, and you get the support for that. So that's another great one to look into, is to do a recording and listening training that will really help you to establish a recording and listening practice.
Okay.
And then keep, just hang with us. Listen to those morning shows. Listen to these shows every Tuesday. Check out the website. Read Sherry's practice blogs. Just immerse yourself, because there's really so much support here. And really, everyone's doing exactly what you're describing. We all have a version of it, whether it's food or, whatever it is. Everyone is working with that same process, is wanting to go past what keeps us stuck, what keeps us in a life of suffering, go beyond that to a place where we can live in the present moment, be free and happy and joyful and all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Thanks for calling in and putting yourself in the queue. I bet that wasn't completely easy.
It was a little bit accidental. I pushed the question.
Oh, that's great.
I was next in the queue. So there you go.
Oh, very good. I love it. Life loves us.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Liba. And great to see that willingness from a new Sangha person to jump in there. Claire, it's great.
No, I love it. That's so fabulous. Yeah.
Wonderful. And Jen, we are going to hear from our recording and listening program, which we just were talking about. And then we'll be back to talk to some more callers.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, We can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have more callers here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. It's Jan in Fremont.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. Did we lose Jan?
Jan, I think I may have just lost Jen. Hold on one sec here.
Michael, can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. It's funny. I could hear you folks the whole time. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, here we are.
Here we are.
Well, I was just, I was marveling at the courage and all else that it takes for people to call in with whatever's going on, the really tough stuff.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Exactly.
And,
I
love it. I mean, you've already mentioned it before about how helpful it is to all of us. I mean, my call today is mainly on gratitude. I'm told over and over again, how many times can you call in about gratitude, you know?
And there must be a quota. I'm sure there is.
But it's just this sense of, you know, I've been on those hard ends many times, but when there's that sense of joy and gratitude that, you know, we know why we practice. I mean, it's for those times that we recognize all of that that's available. And we've come through those really hard times. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so powerful is that when we hear each other talk about those places, at least for me, it completely opens my heart. You know, gosh, I know that place. And I also know how challenging it is, right? So because it's not my content, I'm not pulled in the same way as I am when I'm in the middle of it, when there's something that's so real for me. And so I think it's really helpful to be on both sides of it, to be the person who's going through something that feels really, really real, be willing to call in with it, to be facilitated, to walk through it, and to listen to other people's content that I'm able to get that broader perspective on much more easily because it isn't, quote, mine.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And what was dropping in for me as you were describing that is when I am in those really tough places, I mean, actually, there was one yesterday that, you know, it was just where I had to go off. I had to go off by myself. I had to do the two-handed. And it was very challenging. But what comes in during those times are what I've heard from other people.
Exactly.
Inspires me, you know, to do the two-handed. I mean, I know from experience that, but just the inspiration and support that I feel beyond the calls. It's like it stays with you. It becomes part of you, or at least that's been my experience. And, yeah, it doesn't get much better.
Yeah, it becomes part of your training, literally. So listening, you know, if the muscle that we're strengthening is of awareness, of being able to come back here to the moment, and, you know, it's fabulous. I mean, when we're here and, you know, we're open and we want to record and listen and it's all going well. I mean, you know, great. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right. And what we're really practicing for, Sherry says it all the time, is we're practicing in the, quote, little places, so that in the big places, those insights are available to me, like you described. So there you are, you're in a really hard situation, and miraculously, it drops in to do the two-handed recording, and even more miraculously, you go and do it. Because how many times have we been in that place where, first of all, it doesn't drop in, or even if it does, it's like, either I don't want to, or it's not going to work, or it's too hard, or there's no time, or whatever it is, but then you do it.
Yes. Yeah. It's all just sort of miraculous to me. I mean, and it's funny because when I hear those things come out of me, when I think them, when I say them, there is resistance for that even being expressed, which tells me that it's that much more important to do it, to express how amazing it is what practice offers in the really, really tough times and in those times of, oh my gosh, can it get much better? In both.
Yes, exactly. Yes, in both. Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's another thing we were talking about in this morning's show, is because in those places where it's great, that's supposed to be the beginning of going unconscious.
Yes. Well, those conversations have been tremendous because it stops the sometimes unrecognized tendency to just go, when there's a response to a question from our year-long retreat, to know that that's probably not all that's there.
Yes, exactly.
And that's been talked about over and over again, and I just, again, tremendous appreciation because I sensed that, but I hadn't articulated it for myself or seen it so clearly, so now I know.
Now
I know because other people are experiencing the same thing.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, thank you. I just needed to check in and say thank you again.
And just share some of that gratitude. And I'll look it up, Jan, in the bylaws, but as far as I know, there's no quota, so I think you're all right.
Good enough. Thank you so much, Jen. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. And I'll add to that gratitude also, Jen. I think I get to a point where it's, as we say, I cannot dig myself out of this debt, and yet
exactly. And if I say thank you one more time, I'm just digging myself even further.
Yeah. And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine. Yeah.
Hi. Boy, I think, you know, you can get all the awareness practice you could ever want just by getting in the queue on one of the radio shows. Because, every piece of conditioning that has ever caused me to suffer seems to come up in the queue. It's really interesting. I'm just grateful for the opportunity and to see that. I wanted to talk about something that I'm...
Especially if you get called on towards the end of the show. Wow, that's
right,
nice.
Yeah.
That
we've had a long time in the queue. I wanted to talk about something that I've been... something that was kind of a shift with an old pattern. And the shift began at the recent When You're Falling Dive retreat when Sherry talked about when she was at the monastery where she trained and her teacher was sending her out to do workshops, and he told her, you will do for the love of others what you will not do for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I have heard her say that in various contexts to various people over the years. And every time that I've heard that, the reaction within me has been along the lines of, but I don't love others, so that doesn't really apply to me.
I can't use that one. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so at the retreat, she said this, and there was just kind of a, there was like this little window of another possibility that opened up. And it was that maybe it's not true that I don't love others.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not true. And
I love it.
Yeah.
Just maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And so then that, of course, there's that opens the door to possibility. And I've noticed what conditioning kind of wants to do, what it very much wants to do with that, is, all right, so now you have to really look at this, and you have to look at, do you love others or don't you? And you have to do something with this. And I'm really just wanting to stay in, maybe that's not true.
Oh, my gosh, that's very wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm also finding that that's really a good place to be with just about everything. That
yeah.
ego.
Absolutely. Because what you just described, Catherine, is staying in the process of insight instead of getting pulled out into a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that you language was such a big red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you really, I mean, do you love people or don't you? And, you know, you need to figure this out. And that's such a huge clue that, wait a minute, this is a conditioned conversation. Whereas the insight of maybe that's not true, that's actually a process. I mean, we don't even ever have to answer that question. That
right.
just in itself opens the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really... kind of just put the kibosh on that process in a way that, now wait a minute, I love lots of others, you know,
yes,
like
exactly.
arguing or debating or
mm-hmm.
trying to go to the opposite of that.
Right.
It just keeps me in the conversation.
Right, right. It's you're just going to get batted from one side of the duality to the other.
Right. So, while I was in the queue tonight, it dropped in that a really good place to use this, maybe that's not true, is, well, a lot of places, but with politics.
Uh-huh.
So,
ooh, very good.
There, you know, the country is divided, and I definitely come down on one side of that division.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And... maybe it's not true that I have to do that. Maybe it's not true that I have to take sides.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not true that I can't contribute something without taking a strong stance and going out and fighting. You know, it's like...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this
yeah.
is really...
This kind of applies everywhere. This is a pretty cool
yeah.
tool.
yeah. Yeah. Because, and I haven't come to any conclusion, and I don't feel yeah. like I have to. It's
no.
just really been interesting.
It really can. We can just carry that with us everywhere, huh? You know, let's see. So I'm going to record and listen before I go to bed. Well, I'm too tired. Well... maybe that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's really another version of Sherry's.
I'm sorry?
You know, when Sherry will say, how do I know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? It gets us to question all of those assumptions that are invisible that conditioning creates for us that create the entire context of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's along the line, for a long time, my mantra was, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, it still kind of is my mantra. And I'm thinking of adding this one. Maybe that's not true.
Yes.
When,
yeah.
when things drop in or that from ego or, you know, there's a reaction. So that I don't know place, which it really keeps me in possibility then. Yeah. Whereas knowing or going along with what ego says is true really is just so limiting. It's like, okay, here I am in this little bitty box.
And it's where I have to be, and there's nothing
right.
I can do about it, and, you know, I'm going to have to try hard if I, and I really shouldn't, but I, Exactly.
Yeah.
Deadening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, I think it's fabulous. Just taking it with you everywhere you go into every situation.
Right.
Not true.
Right. And it's, yeah, and it's very nice to not have to do anything with it.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Just kind of live in that space. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there's no, yeah, exactly as you said, there's no answering it. You know, well, now I'm going to go decide if it is true or if it isn't true. No, it's a process. It's a question that takes us to a process place that we can stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And I loved that conversation, Jen. And I could say a lot more, and I'm going to bring on another caller while
another
we have some time.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Beth from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Beth.
It was
you managed to get your
get
place
on.
At the end of the queue.
Yeah, I'm quite comfortable there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I've got 17 things I want to look at.
17, okay, perfect.
Okay, but the biggest one that's been coming up recently that I've been kind of looking at on a daily basis is kind of something I learned cooking at the monastery, was the cook loves the rice as its own children.
Yeah.
And part of getting healthy is getting real food.
Uh-huh.
And kind of finding that, you know, for a long time it was kind of like my brain. My mind was like choosing the foods because I want to be healthy.
Right.
Which is fear-based.
Yes.
And in the last couple weeks, I've been kind of just like starting the day with, you know, rice is just one of the things I eat. But it's like bringing my children home with me.
That's a great image. So, in other words, like when you're getting the food that you're going to be eating?
Yes. Because the best way to be healthy is to eat at home.
Uh-huh.
And before coming to the monastery, I really never cooked much.
Mm.
And in the last couple of years, I've gotten, you know, like these certain things that I cook and have kind of, but just kind of watching how, like, I don't like saying changing my attitude because that's what my mom would say. And,
well,
you know, but it's,
not everything they said was bad, right?
No. No, but just, you know, it's like if I'm loving the food, I want the best for it. I want it to come, you know, with, you know, pure water. I want it to have good soil, the compost, you know, the scraps, what happens with the scraps, the whole process.
And it's such a different process than, as you pointed out, that, oh, I better eat well because otherwise, which is a fear process. But this is a love process.
This is a love process. Mm. And I think it really kind of affects the gut.
Yeah, oh, you know it does. Yeah.
And I think it's like, there, you know, just as you go through life, you don't always have control over the food.
Mm-hmm.
That I can kind of see through what's been done to it. to see that lately it's been beat. To kind of like see that kernel of, you know, that child in there.
And having a sense that the process affects everything.
The process affects everything, and the food and I are the same.
Yeah.
The rice,
you know,
and I
it's
are
like,
the same.
It's so funny that there's a way in which it's like, right? But we don't think about it that way. It seems like I'm the person, and I'm... Yeah, well, for all of us. I mean, well, I think most people don't ever get there, right? I mean, I'm the human being. Like, I'm important, and I'm just eating this stuff, right? This is just food that I'm using.
It has no soul.
Right, but to realize, it really, it's all the same suchness.
It's all the same suchness, yeah. And that I will be composted. And,
yes.
You know, I'm part of the whole cycle.
Right. Yeah.
And
you know what? And that can sound grim, you know, kind of, but when you really, at least for me, when I really look at that and really take that in, that really assists me with getting to experience myself as part of all of it and therefore not be identified with that fear process that you were talking about. I'm a separate self who's important and something's going to happen to. But rather, I'm part of this whole huge, amazing miracle.
And it's not like coming from a place of lack. Like there's, like I can't eat all donuts.
Right.
And there's a part of me that wants to eat only donuts.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like I can't eat what I don't want. Or I.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I meant.
Too many negatives in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not a process of deprivation, essentially, is what I think you're pointing at.
It's not a process of deprivation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just, you know, some things that I prefer to other things, but it's not, you can't have that.
Yeah. You know, and there's a way in which, Beth, I don't know if you have been with us for the whole show tonight, but it really goes beautifully full circle back to the conversation we were having with Mark, where what I just saw when you said that was, I think what we're all going for is staying in the process of love. So did you hear that conversation with Mark and his animals and being afraid? Yeah. So, you know, the challenge there for him would be to stay in a process of love for Mark, for the animals, for all involved. And it's not that there isn't anything, you know, so in your case, you know, health situation and wanting to really, you know, be with that, it's not that it's not happening, but it's that can we come from that place of, it's what Rebecca started us out with, actually, the place of profound love that it really comes from. And ego wants to take it over and make it fear, but actually it didn't start as fear. And can we stay with it as love?
In what I'm hearing kind of, just like an aside of that, it's not a continuation, but like my ancestors and the way they kind of dealt with food.
Mm.
And kind of like, it's like going beyond conditioning. It's like taking my food choices out of conditioning.
Yeah.
And with
exactly.
the love, I mean, it just, there's a flow to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do... I mean, I am very afraid of where food is going in our country.
Mm.
And it's really hard to find real food.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go with that mentality, there's no food. It's a desert. But when I, like I'm looking for my children, they're everywhere.
That's great. It's a great image. Yeah. When we're looking for it, it's there. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But when we're looking through the lens of conditioning, it's a desert. It's nowhere. I can't find it.
I might as well eat a donut.
Exactly, which of course is what it's gunning for.
Yeah, of course,
what do? We eat the donut, and then what? I can't believe you ate that donut.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah, there's so many things that have fallen away. There's like things that that used to really trip me up that don't anymore. But I'm still, it's like always right at my eyeballs.
Oh, yeah.
There's always something.
Yeah, life keeps us on our toes because it wants us here.
Yeah.
It wants us here with it, awake. It loves us. It wants us here. It doesn't want us to go away. It wants us to be here.
It does.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Much gratitude. Take good care.
Again and yet again.
Again and yet again. Amen. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Jen, it sounds like you brought us back to love from the beginning of the show all the way to the end.
Well, I couldn't help it. Everyone just, you know, they didn't give us a choice, really. Followed it so beautifully, right straight through.
Yes. So thank you for being with us tonight. It was great to have you here. A real pleasure.
Pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Good night.